Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Class is in session. Your teacher is Ben Higgins. Ben, tell everybody how to fan.
Professor Higgins.
When you talk about, I've seen in the last 7 days, quotes. We need to send Manny Machado down to work on his swing. That's one.
10-game hitting streak.
Send Ha-Sung Kim down to work on his swing or bench him. Bench Xander Bogaerts until he starts hitting, which is a little bit counter. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You're not going to hit your way out of a slump on the bench. We have to, I think, as a fan base and as a baseball fans in general, you got to wipe it from your lexicon. You got to wipe it from your verbiage, right?
Does it happen with other sports?
I don't know.
Fan bases, other teams?
I've definitely seen it.
I've seen Warriors fans, if Curry has like two or three games in a row where he's only hitting like one or two threes, shots just not falling, you got to bench him.
I see Katie Wu doing this a lot and defending. You know, she's a beat writer for the Cardinals. I see, like, hey, we're not going to bench Arenado. It's just not going to happen. There's a certain, and you can argue the merits of right and wrong with it. In our optimistic sports brain, what do we say? Hey, whatever's best for the team, right? That's, we all say that. Hey, you need to do what's best for the team. Well, there's also the reality of the business world of sports, where it's like, nah, dude, you're making $25 million a year. We're going to let you hit your way out of this thing.
I just like to apply pure logic to the situation.
That's all I'm asking for.
On a Major League Baseball team, you have 13 position players. One of them is a backup catcher. So you've got 9 starters. Essentially, you have 3 guys who aren't playing on any given day, who could replace up to 3 of your 6 players in the lineup that you don't feel are performing up to snuff. Correct. Well, first of all, those 3 players probably aren't that good to begin with. Otherwise, they would be starting for your team or another team.
Yes.
They're not. If you have 3 players that are just so unbelievably incredible, like ready to go, they should be starting every day.
Now that's a different story.
That's very rare, but that does happen.
But it happens.
It's not the case with the San Diego Padres right now. You normally have 4 or 5 guys at any given moment who are kind of struggling. Hitting is, Mike Schilt loves to say, hardest thing to do in the world of sports is hitting a Major League Baseball.
It's not just Mike Schilt. You know,
a lot of people say
everybody.
He said it many times already this season. So you're going to have even your star players who have good seasons are going to go through slumps where they're not hitting great. You can't just replace everyone who's slumping every time with your bench players who aren't that good. That doesn't make any sense. So the most logical thing to do, especially when you have star players who have over a long period of time proven their effectiveness, you just kind of let them roll with it. And well, yes, you can give a day off here or there for a guy who's scuffling. Injuries are a factor that we never fully know about how a guy's feeling. But if a guy's feeling fine and, you know, is trying to work his way out of a slump, generally he's going to play, especially if he's a star-level player. And that's just the way it's going to be. So you can kind of forget the talk about benching Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, almost.
He's not getting benched, nor should he get benched.
Or Manny last week, or Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, again, you have to really think about your options. And I just got a tweet from Landy, and Landy says, saying track record is basically the same as saying look at the back of our baseball cards. Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you paid Xander Bogaerts. You paid him for his track record. You didn't pay him that money because you like the cut of his jib. You know, he looks cool. That's, you paid him because he's produced this, 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 and you expect him to produce that. And if he doesn't produce that 15, I'm going to get 20 games into the season, it's not a guy that, like, you may give him a day, and he got a day against L.A., which I disagreed with, fully disagreed with. I said Xander Bogaerts should be in the lineup. Even if you're slumping, even if you're scuffling, if you're healthy, you got to play against the Dodgers. And we lost that game, right? And so I disagree with that fully. But yeah, man, there's he needs to hit his way out of it. That's the only way it's going to work.
I mean,
like you said at the break, in the year 2031, if he's not hitting, do you consider benching him for your hot young prospect?
Yes.
Right? And he's a bench guy. But now you just don't.
Hopefully your coaches have a good enough pulse on the team and go, there's something truly wrong with Xander right now. Like, his swing is just doesn't look right. It's off. Let's take a couple of days and work on something. But most of the time, you're looking at a guy and goes, yeah, he looks fine. It's not happening for him right now. And then, so you just ride with players like that.
Yeah, you have to. And as much as, again, think about our kind of warped sports brains that we all have from time to time. Hey, man, you're not doing the job. You need to be on the bench. It's for the good of the team. You're not wrong. Like, there's many, we've had many players. You're telling me Angels fans at the end of Pujols' career, or the end of Tigers fans, at the end of Miggy Cabrera's career, you're like, oh my God. Like, we've got to have, like, is he taking a bats from Torkelson, or is Pujols taking a bats from Nolan Shanua, whatever, like whoever your hot prospect is? The answer is undoubtedly yes.
Right now, Xander is taking at bats away from Matt Batten, who was called up yesterday.
Correct, man. So you got to fast forward the tape on that a little bit. And when you think about it, and I know it's a knee jerk reaction. I have them all the time as well. And trust me, I was screaming at my TV last night. But again, the only way, like, you hate to say, oh, well, we're stuck with it, but to be honest, you're kind of stuck with every long-term contract you have.
It's the same team that ran Trent Grisham out there in his 170 batting average every day for a couple of years because we didn't have anybody else behind him.
Yeah,
like, and we didn't have anyone.
I mean, it was much more justified to bench Trent Grisham than it would be to bench Xander
Bogaerts. Because he wasn't locked into an 11-year contract making $30 million, but still, the results were comparable.
Manny, he's hit his way out of his slump. You know, he's still... Is he perfect? No, he's not 4-for-4 every night. Nobody is. Nobody is. But he's hitting balls hard, you know, putting the ball in play. So he's 10-game hit streak. Like, he's hitting his way out of a slump. A guy like Xander Bogaerts, I want it for him because he's ours now, right? He hasn't had that big moment yet. He has not had that Profar, Will Smith, dust up, double off. He hasn't had it yet.
Not even in a season plus, really.
No, and he, in my opinion at least, he hasn't, I think this is fair to say, tell me if I'm off base, he has not been fully embraced, and he also, I don't think, is fully embracing where he's at.
He had a big walk-off homer last year.
I mean, last year was such a turd, Paulie.
Just saying.
Just the moment.
Trying to think of the moment. Like, that is the moment, probably, of now.
Yeah, and it just, I want it for him because I do like him a lot. And he's here. I feel like if you just keep rolling him out there, I think you're going to get some production.
I see in the chat that we need to do the Phillies fan treatment with Trey Turner. I don't think that Xander's really getting... You know, that's part of treatment at Petco Park.
I don't either. And somebody sent me that. So somebody put that out last week as a bit. And then somebody said, he goes, can you guys promote this and let's do it? I go, A, I don't want to hack their bit. Because that was a good bit they did with Trey Turner. And it was a radio producer, came up with that idea, and they went out and they did it, and the guy started mashing. And A, I don't want to steal their thing. And B, I think the guy that tweeted originally was doing it as a joke. So I don't want to make fun either, right? So I think Xander's going to be fine.
It's going to be tough for Xander to ever live up to his contract.
Bro, it's,
and that's not,
it's not
even
his fault.
His fault
no,
that he was
no,
offered
it's
that
not.
Monster contract.
It's not his fault.
Or that he accepted
it's not
your it.
Fault. Let me get my Robin Williams on with him. Bring him into an office. It's not your fault. No, I know. No. You don't know. It's not your fault.
What are you talking about, man?
No, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Now you're just reminding him of Boston again.
Oh, crap, dude. That's a good point.
It's not your fault.
That's a really good point.
Maybe not, yeah. Damn. Crap. Damn it.
You just nailed that.
All right, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. We're playing in about a minute or two here. 833-288-0973. You can qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. You can take down Woods this week. Give us a call right now, 833-288-0973. Did mention, though, Padres made a move yesterday. Matt Batten was called up from AAA El Paso, and Brett Sullivan was sent back down to give, presumably, the team an extra infielder, a body, in case Jake Cronenworth is unavailable for a day or two. So Mike Schilt did address Jake Cronenworth's calf tightness before the game yesterday.
We're still in the process of figuring it out. It's in a you know, unique spot, you know, because it's not necessarily the calf, and it kind of leaks into the hamstring. But the good news is he walked out without any real discomfort yesterday. And is presenting pretty well today. He's obviously getting treatment. So clearly we're mindful and hopeful that, you know, it won't be a long-term situation, but we're still in the process of figuring that out.
Do we have an estimation of when we might see him again?
No, we don't. Like I said, we're in the process of figuring it out, but we're taking it, you know, literally day by day.
It's not super encouraging.
Yeah,
but it never is.
The worst would be, hey, he's right on the injured list. We know he's not going to be back for a while. They didn't do that. So
they did make the move, though. That's
yeah, but not concern. With him. They didn't make it with him. He's still on the roster, which means they think there's a possibility he could be back sooner rather than later. If they decide that's not the case, then I would imagine they will put Jake on the IL. Now, he said he was walking okay. He was not feeling it that, but I don't know what the bleeding of the calf into the hamstring sounds kind of concerning. It's a muscle or it's another muscle, or did you strain or two muscles that are tight now? There is certainly some cause for concern there. I'd imagine we'll have a lineup fairly soon.
Yeah.
So we'll find out, you know, not expecting Jake to be back in there. You got a day off tomorrow. You got a built-in three straight days off you can give him if you don't play him in the game today. So I would not expect to see Jake in the lineup today unless he's feeling pretty perfect. Like, no, can't feel it at all. Everything's fine. And that would be great news. But otherwise, I would say the earliest we'll see him back again is Friday at home. And if they can't get him by then you start thinking about, okay, injured list time.
Retroactive to Tuesday or whatever.
Okay. I hope that's not the case.
All right. That's your update on Jake Cronenworth. Now let's get to today's game. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
Robert will be our contestant for Take on Woods today, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right, let's see if we can get you qualified for the trip for two to Las Vegas at the Westgate and tickets to Kool and the Gang. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com for their 2024 residency. Here are your categories today. Royal titles, five song titles or artists that include a British royal title in their name. Going Up, five song titles beginning with Up. And Fire and Ice is our new category. Those are musical artists or bands, either with fire or ice in their name. Robert? Royal titles, Going Up, or Fire and Ice? What would you like to play?
Let's do Going Up.
Going Up. All right. Today, we've got five song titles all beginning with Up. You have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We can come back to it. First questions are 2-second song. Polly's going to play a little music. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist to score that point. You go first. Woods goes second. If you beat or tie him, we will put you into the grand prize drawing for Vegas. Robert, are you ready to go?
Yep.
All right, Paul, you good? All right, category is going up. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Robert. Let's take on Woods.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Correct.
Pass on the song.
According to Backstreet Guy Billy Joel, which 1983 hit was inspired by Elle McPherson, Whitney Houston, and future
wife? Girl.
Correct. Jennifer Warnes and Joe Cocker sing a duet in which theme song for the 1982 film An Officer and a Gentleman?
Pass.
Aztecs fans chant, "We will be victorious," in unison when Viejas Arena plays which 2009 song by Muse?
Uprising.
Correct. Uprising. Bruno Mars is the featured performer on which 2014 mega hit for British record producer Mark Ronson?
Uptown Funk.
Correct. Back to our 2 second song. Do you know the title?
Pass.
Up Around the Bend.
Correct. Jennifer Warnes and Joe Cocker sing a duet in which theme song from the 1982 film An Officer and a Gentleman?
I don't know that one.
That's okay. Four is a really good score. In your 60 seconds, the only one you didn't get was Up Where We Belong. But you got Up Around the Bend, CCR, Uptown Girl, Uprising, and Uptown Funk. That means the pressure is on Woods, who does not get the category. Yeah, this is, I think this could be an interesting one. All right, Woods is back, putting on his headphones. Robert, stay on the line there. 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Robert.
I'll pass.
According to Backstreet Guy Billy Joel, which 1983 hit was inspired by Elle McPherson? Whitney
Uptown
Houston,
Girl.
Correct. Jennifer Warnes and Joe Cocker sing a duet in which theme song from the 1982 film An Officer and a Gentleman?
Up Where We Belong?
Correct. Aztecs fans chant, "We will be victorious," in unison. Viejas Arena plays which 2009 song by Muse?
Uprising.
Correct. Bruno Mars is the featured performer on which 2014 mega hit for British record producer Mark Ronson?
Passed.
Back to the 2 second song.
It's
another category.
Something up.
Bruno Mars is the featured performer on which 2014 mega hit for British record producer Mark Ronson. Mark Ronson.
Up. Well, get on up.
Nope.
No. Back to the 2 second song. It's last chance.
CCR.
It is CCR. But by a 4-3 score, congratulations, Robert. You have taken down Woods today.
What is the CCR?
It's Up Around the Bend by CCR.
Around the Bend.
And it was Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson. Yeah, Up songs, all beginning with Up. But that is a win for Robert. Paulie, you'll get your information during the break. Robert, you are in.
Suck it, Robert.
To the drawing for Las Vegas at the end of the month. Congratulations.
Damn it. How do you miss Uptown Funk, moron? How do you miss, like, the biggest song?
That might have been the song of the 2010s.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt it was.
All right, we have a...
Out around the band.
DDT is next. There's some drama surrounding the last will and testament of one Orenthal James Simpson.
I saw that.
Get that coming up next.
How about, I don't know if you guys had a do this, but what do we do every time Ha-Sung Kim does something?
Perfect. There's the do this as well. After traffic on 97.3 The Fan, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco is some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. I'll get us started on Don't Do This today. Shockingly, O.J. Simpson's longtime attorney doesn't seem to be particularly sharp at his job.
Well,
I mean,
how would that be shocking? They got him off a murder rap.
No, that's different attorney. That's a different attorney. Now, do you get into the legal business to become the attorney for a disgraced murderer? I don't think so.
Everybody has a right to defense.
Yeah. I mean, this is more of his, like, business attorney guy, Malcolm Laverne. He's also the administrator for his last will and testament. Took him like one day after OJ died to come out and with lots of hostility, saying the Goldman family, they're not getting a penny of OJ's estate. I'm going to stop it. It's never going to happen. Now, of course, OJ's estate owes the Goldmans from the civil lawsuit like $33 million, which, of course, he's never come close to paying off. He's dodged a lot of it. He became poorer. I mean, he lived on, they set off his NFL pension in the later years, but he avoided as much as he could actually paying the judgment that was owed against him. Only took one day before Malcolm Laverne had to recant all of his words and say, okay, yes, we will follow the laws of the state of Nevada, which indicate that, in fact, the Goldman family will be treated accordingly and where they should be in the reading of the will and the testament and the assets. But I thought what was very interesting in OJ's, apparently in his will, that his main heirs, his kids, that he put a provision in that if any of them contest the will, then they get cut out. They get just $1. So basically he like wanted to make sure that none of them said anything about it after he was gone. Would you do that? Like cut your
what's he
children
gonna do
out
now?
Of their will?
Would I cut my children would cut me out of their will.
That's right.
They are, I think, worth more than I am.
Was that a pun intended, by the way?
Cut.
Oh no, it was not intended. That would be inappropriate.
It gets gnarly, like when that happens, somebody passes away, you know, and that's always like it makes the debt like, hey, not only do we lose our, in this case, your loved one, I guess, but you also like, cool, now we get to go to litigation about, you know, oh, dad's old football jersey. You know, it's so unnecessary a majority of the time. And now this one, though, I mean, how are you a turd after you're still a turd after you die? Like, hey, make sure they don't get anything. But yeah, they will get paid out by, I'm assuming, by his NFL pension. Now you have to divvy it up between his kids and
the attorney says OJ didn't die with a lot.
Right.
He didn't have millions and millions that he passed away with.
Right.
But they'll find out for sure. The courts get involved now. So they'll determine it. They'll divvy it up.
And a turn to the end, essentially.
Exactly.
Last night, your beloved Lakers, Ben, were able to squeak out a victory. And this was interesting commentary. It was kind of making the rounds last night. Listen, the microphone's on. Sometimes you say things that make sense in your head, but they don't really make sense when you think them through. And Reggie Miller was a little guilty. Lakers up 108-106, stepping to the line to shoot two free throws.
2.7
seconds left.
Two point lead.
Yeah, 2 point lead, 2.7 seconds left in the game. Here we go.
Here's things that you talk about on the bus as players. If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one, knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast, because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both be at four?
Yes.
And game over.
There you go. It's not a debate.
I get what he's
no
saying.
Debate there. There's no debate.
No.
Just make the free throw. You don't miss that.
No. There is an argument to be made that if you have a one-point lead, is it better to make one and miss one and get the clock going quicker? Because, you know, they could tie or win it anyway, but especially if there's like less than like a second and a half left.
Yeah.
But when you have a chance to make a 4-point lead,
you take the 4-point
with like 3
lead.
Seconds, you can't, there's nothing they can do about that unless you foul them.
You don't touch
there's
them.
There's nothing
them shoot a three,
you could, they can
right.
do
still
about
win
that.
The game.
You would always make the free throws in that
miss,
situation.
Not on purpose,
right.
you miss, then the clock starts running and you're fine. You're up three, unless they chuck up a three-quarters court pass.
It's unlikely either way, but it's more unlikely that the other team can do anything when you're up four.
That was weird.
I don't think
from
Reggie,
one of the greatest to ever play
that
the
was
game.
Weird.
Well, and the Pacers were talking about on the bus. You kind of know what happened to them down the stretch.
Then again, Reggie
the
is the guy. Well, how many were they down against the Knicks in that playoff game when he like made three and
13.
Then they stole it and made three and it was like
13 points.
There's no
like
way you can come back from that deficit. So Reggie's kind of got, well, I've done it before.
He's got
so
a different mentality.
I've got
maybe.
A different mentality than everybody else.
13 points in 8 seconds, I think it was.
But that doesn't usually happen.
8 points in 9 seconds.
Lakers did win. They advanced. They will face the Nuggets in the first round in the 2-7 matchup beginning on Saturday. The Pelicans will play the Sacramento Kings, who eliminated the Golden State Warriors in game two of the play-in tournament last night. The Warriors dynasty seems like it's pretty much at an end now. And the winner of that game will play the one-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. The East games are tonight. The Heat and the 76ers, 4 o'clock. Hawks and Bulls in the 9-10 game at 6:30. All right, finally, do this.
Mega doo-doo.
Paulie with an outstanding idea. Anytime Ha-Sung Kim hits a home run, or anytime the Padres get a big home run by anyone now, we really love to find the play-by-play of the Korean guys who are calling the game back to, you know, Seoul, back to the fans,
but
for
especially
Ha-Sung
Kim.
But when he does it,
oh,
and it's right down the
God.
Line, and you know it's going to be fair or foul, this is going to be a good one.
Tell me this doesn't make your day.
This is the call.
Makes my day.
I imagine a good conversation about whether or not it was going to stay fair or foul.
Yeah, were you worried that it was going to stay fair?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was hooking. He hit it so hard, though, it might have been hooking around the pole, but it's like,
when they talk over each other at the beginning is my favorite. They're like, we have no... We're not going to... It's full conversation.
They're both doing their own show at the same time.
It's the best thing ever. When they just... And if I can picture their program director, their Korean program director, sitting in his office going, I've told you guys. Ben, you have the actual... You're in the background just making noise, Woodsy, all right? And Ben, just make the call. Do the call.
Ha-Sung Kim drives one deep
baseball
down the line.
Baseball is back here on the Padres as they host the Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend.
Fair. It's out of here. It's
for
gone.
Weekend promotions like the Padres House Band. Presented by Noah Kombucha on Saturday night. Enjoy the live performances of oldies and new hit music while sipping on select drink specials. It's my favorite thing in the world. You too. You guys are killing me. Okay? Sit down.
I feel like they're both doing play-by-play at the same
it's
time.
It's the greatest.
Like, there's a deep drive.
Yeah,
it's really
that.
Deep.
Really
is it going to stay fair? I don't know if it's going to stay fair. It's right down the line.
Hard.
Is it going to be a home run? It is.
A home run. My favorite. I love it. And then they come together in the... Like, it's brilliant.
Don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Had some more drama in Major League Baseball last night. Did you see the end of the Cubs and Diamondbacks? That was one of the wildest games
of the season. No, I missed
that
entirely.
Yeah, you were probably asleep.
I was dead asleep.
Pretty late one last night. Got an update on the rest of the NL West. Dodgers as well.
Padres lineup?
And we got a Padres lineup. All right, so an early game, early lineup, all coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. You're listening to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball, covering everything going on with the Padres at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's glary in there. Is that Sam Levitt? I believe that is Sammy Levitt.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready for the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show?
Look at that handsome SOB out there.
In 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Padres and pancakes.
Padres and pancakes and Brewers.
Beer. Oh,
beer and pancakes.
Not a good combo. Me and Paulie were talking about that yesterday. Like, I like a cocktail. I don't like cocktail when I eat food. You know what I mean? I don't
you
like...
You want just the drink before dinner.
Oh, I love a cocktail before dinner. Wine is like the only exception, and it's at a very nice place with a steak or like Italian food. But if I go
but
to...
even then, I still need at least a water.
You got to get a water. I always get like a soda, too. You do, too. Diet Coke. To
we'll
eat with your steak and mashed potatoes.
They'll ask for drink orders, and I will say, yeah, we'll get some waters for the table.
Old fashioned.
I'll have an old fashioned.
And a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke. Usually Megan will say, I'll have a Diet Coke or something.
I'll have one
too. You know what? Bring two.
When I go to breakfast with my kids on the weekend, I'd like a apple juice, a coffee, a water, and I'll do a Coke as well. The guy's like, four drinks. Uh-huh. Yeah. I really like the drinks. My wife can sit and eat a meal without having any liquid near her.
Colonel Budget says the drinks are always the most overpriced.
That's how they get you, dude.
Item on the menu.
That's how they get you.
I mean, like, you go to a fast food place, and a large is now $3.79. How much does it cost?
It's not the most expensive thing on the menu, though.
It's not the most expensive thing, but relative to the cost to the restaurant, where that Sprite that you're filling up, that large cup, is probably worth like 5 cents. The markup is absolutely ridiculous on drinks. Have you ever ordered juice at a breakfast place now? It's like $9
so
for orange juice.
I'm terrible because you asked me a good question driving in this morning. And it was, what were we talking about, the 80s or something? And you said, what would you like to have be the same price as?
You could go back one thing and make it the price it was when you were growing up.
And take out the big things. Take out homes.
Sure, it'd be nice
cars,
to buy a new house for $23,000.
Yeah, gas is fine.
Gas, you could choose gas.
You could choose
you
gas.
Yeah.
99
Done.
Cents.
Done.
You know, but.
Kidding me?
Drinks is a good one. It's not bad. I mean, you're like you just said, I don't know. If I want a Coke, I just buy a Coke. I don't like labor over the cost of. It
Paul, you like to go out to eat. Nice steak dinner, you and Megan go out for like $72 at the end of the night.
Back
like
in the day.
Two fillets, my dad baked potato, everything, all the fixings, the works. And
I bet
the bill
you,
comes at the end of the night. Here, $72 for everything.
I bet
it's
you
bad.
A family of four back in 1983 at a nice steakhouse was probably $80.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's $80 for just the steak.
Yeah.
Boy, you can order it though, don't you? Because you want it. That's how they get you. Supply and demand.
You at least feel like that item, while it is marked up, even at the butcher shop, like the raw steak you're buying is now, you know, the good stuff is, you know, $30 to $40 a pound sometimes. So you know they're marking it up. But the drinks, they're marking up ridiculously.
They get you on the drinks.
Does not cost you $4.95 for a Coke to buy that out of a soda fountain.
Still get it.
All right. We are going to check traffic, and then we will bring you the Padres lineup against the Milwaukee Brewers for the series finale. It is out, and it is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, the one thing that I have not been able to find yet is who is actually going to be starting today's game for the Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah. It still says TBD on the Brewers website.
He's got good stuff.
Check their reporter who covers them from MLB.com.
Nothing.
He hasn't tweeted anything. The Brewers haven't put out a lineup of any sorts.
Big secret.
That I have noticed yet. But Mike Schilt says, I don't care who we're going up against. I'm going to put my lineup out anyway. I already know who I want in the lineup.
Yeah, you can't. It's not like you can sit and.
You can. You can wait until they name a starting pitcher before you construct your lineup.
Kind of a baller move. I don't care what you throw out there. We're going to get
now,
you anyway.
In Mike Schilt's defense, it's almost certainly going to be a bullpen day. So
you, know
you don't tailor your lineup against a starter who may only go one inning or two innings at most.
You know, it's funny. The last time we said the Dodgers were going to throw a bullpen day, I'm pretty sure he went six on us. I'm like almost positive. So stranger things have
or
happened.
It could be the opener. Dodgers did that last night where they had the opener go two and then Guy came in and threw five after that. So you do see that nowadays, and you probably want to tailor your lineup to whoever you think is going to throw the most innings against you. But here is the lineup today against TBD of the Milwaukee Brewers, 10-10 first pitch. Sander Bogaerts back in the leadoff spot, playing second base. Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second in right field, and once again hitting third for the second straight day. Jurickson Profar, but he's back to his usual position of left field. Manny Machado DHing and batting cleanup. Ha-Sung Kim will bat fifth and play shortstop. Jackson Merrill is your center fielder, hitting sixth. Tyler Wade will be at third base, batting seventh. Back from AAA and on the San Diego Padres, making his 2024 season debut, Matt Batten will play first base today and bat eighth. And behind the plate, batting ninth, will be Kyle Higashioka for your San Diego Padres.
Makes sense. Makes sense to, you know, again, you never want to punt games, and this is, certainly isn't a punt. You still have Bogaerts, Tatis, Profar, Machado, and Kim, and Jackson Merrill all in there. It's not a punt by any stretch, but it is important to get Higgy work. It is important that you called Matt Batten up.
Like, that's not surprising in any sense of the word.
No, I'm not surprised.
Catching
early day game early after getaway. A night game.
Not even
that
close.
Happens almost every time.
Yeah, not even close. So, yeah, great. Go get a win. Get a sweep.
By the way, the Brewers may have some of their backups in on a day game after a night game as well.
But when you... when you win the first two, boy, it makes that lineup a lot more palatable, doesn't it? Not your best lineup, but it makes it a lot more palatable after you win the first two. Now you want the sweep. You want to keep it rolling.
Padres won the series against the Dodgers on day three, not on day two. Doesn't matter how you do it.
Well, they had their weaker lineup on day two. That's the day they sat Xander Bogaerts.
Right, and they still won the series. It's just as palatable that way. But I do think... you're going to have to string together to really make some inroads in the standings. You need to string sweeps together. You know, you need a 6 or 7 game winning streak at some point.
Absolutely.
We didn't see that until September last year. Winning series is great, and you'll hear Mike Schilt say that all the time. Hey, goal is just to win series. But it takes a lot of one series. If you just win 2 out of 3, even if you do that 5 straight times, you're only 5 games above 500. And that's not, then you lose, then you get swept once and you're back to 2 games above 500. It's a lot of work. You know, when you sweep, you can make things happen very quickly. And that is, you know, that would be the goal occasionally. Now, I'm very happy with where the Padres are at this point. Their schedule, they've played the Brewers, who have gotten off to a hot start, the Cubs, who have gotten off to a hot start, the Dodgers, of course, and they took series from all three of those teams. That's great. Padres don't need to be necessarily dominating early in the year given the difficulty of their schedule. But when the opportunity presents itself to sweep a series, you want to take at least a few of those they go forward.
No doubt.
First chance to sweep a series today.
You know, and I hate to do this to them every single day, but it's just kind of the nature of our job and what we do, right? It's like, all right, you showed me something yesterday. You showed me yesterday that you could get out to a hot start. You showed me that you could hang on to a lead, and you showed me that you could add on late.
Now what do you want them to show you?
A sweep. Okay. So that's the
and a 4-game winning streak.
A 4-game winning streak. Yeah, that's the nature of this business, the nature of being a fan too. Great. Yesterday was awesome. Do it again today. And if they don't, you can bet there's going to be a lot of fussy people tomorrow. I may be one of them, depending on how they play. Some days you just get... but. It's a little bit unfair to do, hey, you won the series, but I also don't want to rest on, we won the series. You know, I think that mentality kind of seeps in. But, you know, you win more series than you lose, Ben, you're going to have a pretty good year.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
But if you never sweep any of them.
Correct.
You have to always win series.
Correct.
You know, the best way is, hey, win series as many as you can, and then sweep a few so that when you lose 2 out of 3, which every team will do.
Yep.
Then it doesn't hurt you that badly. You're just giving up one game, whereas you just picked up three. All right, I do have a Brewers lineup. I still don't see a pitcher.
Not pitcher listed.
But I've got a lineup here. Frelich, Contreras, Bowers, Adames, Dunn, Hoskins, Terang, Churio, Perkins. Most of the same players we've seen first two games of the series. I still do not see a pitcher listed for the game. They are really... Pat Murphy's really taken this to the extremes. Before he names a starting pitcher for today's game. Last night went 10 innings, like 3 hours and 30, 40 minutes, one of the longer games in baseball so far. The Cubs and Diamondbacks played an absolute epic. The Cubs scored 6 runs in the top of the 7th to come from behind and take an 11-8 lead over the Diamondbacks. But then the Diamondbacks scored 1 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, and 1 in the 9th to tie the game at 11. And then scored 1 in the 10th to win it 12-11 and steal that game last night.
Damn it,
in
Cubs. I'm scoreboard watching right now.
Yeah, the Cubs actually have a better record than the Diamondbacks right now. And you just don't know which team you're competing against. So
beat the crap out of each other, I guess.
Early in the season, it doesn't really matter. You'd like to stay ahead of the Diamondbacks, and the Padres are a game ahead of the Diamondbacks for second place right now in the National League West. And they remained 1 game behind the Los Angeles Dodgers, who finally got another win. They beat the Washington Nationals yesterday. 6-2 was the final, I believe.
Yeah.
And they had their new prospect that they brought up, Andy Páez, who actually got a hit on the very first pitch he saw, which surprised the Dodgers broadcast team going, yeah, I mean, you're going up there. First time ever you've been up in the big leagues.
I'm not taking a pitch.
You're not taking
one? No. There is no chance.
Get comfortable?
Bro, I'm hoping for a 6-hopper to the shortstop. I'm hoping for a rollover. I'm hoping for a lazy fly ball to center field. But I am not going to stand up there and watch slider 0-2 and just ass out swing. No, I'm going up there hacking. Would you go up there and wait? Get your pitch? Oh, my God.
Might want to settle in for one pitch at least.
Yeah, he throws you a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. You stare at it, and then what's he going to do? Snap, snap, you're done. You're walking back to the bench. I'm getting up there, and I'm hacking. We got the report card for one Angel Hernandez last night. Not that bad. Maybe the best game he's ever called. 90% overall accuracy. 91
isn't great.
91%
for him, it's okay.
For him, it's fantastic. It's, okay. It's like when I would get an A on something every now and then. 91%.
I mean, the good umpires are, you know, on a good game. Yeah. 97, 98. 90's not terrific.
Now, his most impactful missed calls all came early in the game, which is kind of what you want. Bottom of the third, Cesar Ortiz. Top of the first, Miley DeMerrill. Bottom of the third, Cesar Ortiz. All went against the Padres. Called ball accuracy, 92%. Called strike accuracy, Ben, 85%. Average is 88.
Now, I pointed out that there is, for every Angel Hernandez missed call, and there will be plenty of them, there's a 50-50 chance it does help your team.
And there's some did early.
They did, absolutely. The balk call, I still don't exactly know what was going on when Luis Camposano looked like he got picked off.
Yeah.
He called a balk from a position where if it truly was the leg kick was like broke the plane, that's the first base umpire's call,
yes.
Not the home plate umpire's call. So that was a weird one from Angel Hernandez.
The check swing, too. Remember that? Like, Xander, I think, check swing, and did not ask for help.
Angel will be at third base today based on the normal rotations of umpires, which seems like the spot where you can least affect a game.
He's knock on wood.
You can.
Knock on wood right now.
You can, but you don't have the constant, you know, first base calls that the first base umpire does.
Yep. The check and swing, too.
Yeah, you do have the check swing call at third on left-handers.
Yep.
No.
Oh, boy.
Would you say second base is then a less impactful umpire or the third base
Well,
umpire?
With replay now, you know, if it's close play, bang, bang play. But, man, thing about Angel is not that he misses calls. He also rips the mask off and starts walking towards you. He's an instigator.
He didn't throw out Jurickson when he got mad.
Surprised.
And I thought perhaps that would be a problem. Jurickson definitely kind of did his arms like up in the air. Like when the ball was outside, it was close, but it was outside.
And I told Hannah, she goes, that ball was out. And I go, babe, it was pretty close. That's nowhere near his most egregious miss. And I said, does that not tell you, though, how good these guys are?
But do you know who the best umpires would be? If you could...
Robots.
No, robots, yeah, that's true. Good point, Polly. If you gave players all truth serum, though...
Them!
And
they would be.
If batters could not tell a lie, they are almost always right. Like, when they let one go,
it's scary,
and it's outside,
dude.
They look like, dude, that was a ball, and it's usually a ball.
Think about guys like that we've seen, Manny Machado, Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Like, if they aren't swinging...
It's not a strike.
I don't think
it's
a strike.
Not a strike. They do... they will, like, sometimes Manny will take one where he's like, he looks back, I'm like, bro, right down the middle. They do that, and I think it's more for effect.
I do, too.
But if push came to shove, like you said, if you had truth serum in them, if they had to call their own games, I think it would be better. At least balls and strikes, I think it would be pretty good, man.
They know when they're out, and they know when they should be walking.
Don't give Rob Manfred any ideas.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, you mean I don't have to pay umpires anymore? Yeah.
Also in the NL West yesterday, the Giants lost again to the Marlins 6-3. Old friend Ryan Weathers shoving against the Giants. 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, lowering his ERA to 2.70. What did they do to Ryan Weathers in Miami? My goodness.
Skip Schumacher effect.
Apparently. Congratulations on that performance. All right, we'll come back. We have got 1 hour left going to an early Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show. Brett Boone is going to join us in our final hour, host of the Brett Boone podcast, and much more. Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball, covering everything going on with the Padres at 97.3TheFanSD.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's glary in there. Is that Sam Levitt? I believe that is Sammy Levitt.
Oh, yes.
Ready for the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show.
Look at that handsome SOB out there.
In 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Padres and pancakes.
Padres and pancakes and Brewers.
Beer. Oh,
beer and pancakes.
Not a good combo. Me and Paulie were talking about that yesterday. Like, I like a cocktail. I don't like cocktail when I eat food. You know what I mean? I don't
you
like.
You want just the drink before dinner.
Oh, I love a cocktail before dinner. Wine is like the only exception, and it's at a very nice place with a steak or like Italian food. But if I go
but
to.
But even then, I still need at least a water.
You got to get a water. I always get like a soda, too. You do too, a Diet Coke.
We'll sit down with
your steak and mashed potatoes.
I'll ask for drink orders, and I will say, yeah, we'll get some waters for the table.
Old fashioned.
I'll have an old fashioned.
And a Diet Coke.
Usually Megan will say, I'll have a Diet Coke or something.
I'll have one too.
You know what? Bring two.
When I go to breakfast with my kids on the weekend, I'd like a apple juice, a coffee, a water, and I'll do a Coke as well. The guy's like, four drinks. Uh-huh. Yeah. I really like the drinks. My wife can sit and eat a meal without having any liquid near her.
Colonel Budget says the drinks are always the most overpriced.
That's how they get you, dude.
Item on the menu.
That's how they get you.
I mean, like, you go to a fast food place, and a large is now $3.79. How much does it cost?
It's not the most expensive thing on the menu, though.
It's not the most expensive thing, but relative to the cost to the restaurant, where that Sprite that you're filling up, that large cup, is probably worth like 5 cents. The markup is absolutely ridiculous on drinks. Have you ever ordered juice at a breakfast place now? It's like $9
so
for orange juice.
I'm terrible because you asked me a good question driving in this morning. And it was, what were we talking about? The 80s or something. And you said, what would you like to have be the same price as?
You could go back one thing and make it the price it was
thing.
When you were growing up.
And take out the big things. Take out homes.
Sure, it'd be nice
cars,
to buy a new house for $23,000.
Gas is fine.
Gas, you could choose gas.
You could choose gas.
Yeah.
99
Done.
Cents.
Done.
You know, but.
Kidding me?
Drinks is a good one. It's not bad. I mean, you're like you just said, I don't know. If I want a Coke, I just buy a Coke. I don't like labor over the cost of.
Paul, you like to go out to eat. Nice steak dinner you and Megan got for like $72 at the end of the night.
Back
like
in the day.
Two fillets, my dad potato, everything, all the fixings, the works. And
I bet
the bill comes at the end of the night. Here, $72 for everything.
I bet you a family of four back in 1983 at a nice steakhouse was probably $80.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's $80 for just the steak.
Yeah.
Boy, you can order it though, don't you? Because you want it. That's how they get you. Supply and demand.
You at least feel like that item, while it is marked up, even at the butcher shop, like the raw steak you're buying is now, you know, the good stuff is, you know, $30 to $40 a pound sometimes. So you know they're marking it up, but the drinks, they're marking up ridiculously.
They get you on the drinks.
Does not cost you $4.95 for a Coke. To buy that out of a soda fountain.
Get it.
All right. We are going to check traffic, and then we will bring you the Padres lineup against the Milwaukee Brewers for the series finale. It is out, and it is coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. But the one thing that I have not been able to find yet is who is actually going to be starting today's game for the Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah. It still says TBD on the Brewers website.
He's got good stuff.
Check their reporter who covers them from MLB.com. Nothing. He hasn't tweeted anything. The Brewers haven't put out a lineup of any sorts.
Big secret.
That I have noticed yet. But Mike Schilt says, I don't care who we're going up against. I'm going to put my lineup out anyway.
Is that smart or is it not? I already know
who I want in the lineup.
Yeah, you can't. It's not like you can sit and yeah.
You can. You actually can wait until they name a starting pitcher before you construct your lineup.
Kind of a baller move. So I don't care what you throw out there. We're going to get
now,
you anyway.
In Mike Schilt's defense, it's almost certainly going to be a bullpen day. So you don't tailor your lineup against a starter who may only go one inning or two innings at
the
most.
You know, it's funny. The last time we said the Dodgers were going to throw a bullpen day, I'm pretty sure he went six on us. I'm like almost positive. So stranger things have happened.
Or it could be the opener. Dodgers did that last night where they had the opener go two and then guy came in and threw five after that. So you do see that nowadays, and you probably want to tailor your lineup to whoever you think is going to throw the most innings against you. But here is the lineup today against TBD of the Milwaukee Brewers, 10-10 first pitch. Xander Bogaerts back in the leadoff spot, playing second base. Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second in right field, and once again hitting third for the second straight day. Jurickson Profar, but he's back to his usual position of left field. Manny Machado DHing and batting cleanup. Ha-Sung Kim will bat fifth and play shortstop. Jackson Merrill is your center fielder hitting sixth. Tyler Wade will be at third base batting seventh. Back from AAA and on the San Diego Padres making his 2024 season debut, Matt Batten will play first base today and bat eighth. And behind the plate batting ninth will be Kyle Higashioka for your San Diego Padres.
Makes sense. Makes sense to, you know, again, you never want to punt games, and this is, certainly isn't a punt. You still have Bogaerts, Tatis, Profar, Machado, and Kim, and Jackson Merrill all in there. It's not a punt by any stretch, but it is important to get Higgy work. It is important that you called Matt Batten up.
Like, that's not surprising in any sense of the word.
No, I'm not surprised.
Higashioka catching
early day game early after a night game.
Not even
that
close.
Happens almost every time.
Yeah, not even close. So, yeah, great. Go get a win. Good as week.
By the way, the Brewers may have some of their backups in on a day game after a night game as well.
But when you win the first two, boy, it makes that lineup a lot more palatable, doesn't it? Not your best lineup, but it makes it a lot more palatable after you win the first two. Now you want the sweep, you want to keep it rolling.
Padres won the series against the Dodgers on day three, not on day two. Doesn't matter how you do it.
Well, they had their weaker lineup on day two. That's the day they sat Xander Bogaerts.
Right, and they still won the series. It's just as palatable that way. But I do think you're going to have to string together to really make some inroads in the standings. You need to string sweeps together. You know, you need a 6 or 7 game winning streak at some point.
Absolutely.
We didn't see that until September last year. Winning series is great, and you'll hear Mike Schilt say that all the time. Hey, goal is just to win series. But it takes a lot of one series. If you just win 2 out of 3, even if you do that 5 straight times, you're only 5 games above 500. And that's not, then you get swept once and you're back to 2 games above 500. It's a lot of work. You know, when you sweep, you can make things happen very quickly. And that is, you know, that would be the goal occasionally. Now, I'm very happy with where the Padres are at this point. Their schedule, they've played the Brewers, who have gotten off to a hot start, the Cubs, who have gotten off to a hot start, the Dodgers, of course, and they took series from all three of those teams. That's great. Padres don't need to be necessarily dominating early in the year, given the difficulty of their schedule. But when the opportunity presents itself to sweep a series, you want to take at least a few of those they go forward.
First chance to sweep
a series today.
You know, and I hate to do this to them every single day, but it's just kind of the nature of our job and what we do, right? It's like, all right, you showed me something yesterday. You showed me yesterday that you could get out to a hot start. You showed me that you could hang on to a lead, and you showed me that you could add on late.
Now what do you want them to show you?
A sweep. Okay. So that's the
four-game winning streak.
Yeah, that's the nature of this business, the nature of being a fan, too. Great. Yesterday was awesome. Do it again today. And if they don't, you can bet there's going to be a lot of fussy people tomorrow. I may be one of them, depending on how they play. Some days you just get, but it's a little bit unfair to do, hey, you won the series, but I also don't want to rest on, we won the series. You know, I think that mentality kind of seeps in, but you know, you win more series than you lose, Ben, you're gonna have a pretty good year.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
But if you never sweep any of them,
correct.
You have to win, you have to always win series.
Correct.
You know, the best way is, hey, win series as many as you can, and then sweep a few so that when you lose 2 out of 3, which every team will do, then it doesn't hurt you that badly. You're just giving up one game, whereas you just picked up 3. All right, I do have a Brewers lineup. I still don't see a pitcher.
Not pitcher listed.
But I've got a lineup here. Frelick, Contreras, Bowers, Adames, Dunn, Hoskins, Terang, Churio, Perkins. Most of the same players we've seen. First two games of the series. I still do not see a pitcher listed for the game. They are really, Pat Murphy's really taken this to the extremes before he names a starting pitcher for today's game. Yeah, last night went 10 innings, like 3 hours and 30, 40 minutes, one of the longer games in baseball so far. The Cubs and Diamondbacks played an absolute epic. The Cubs scored 6 runs in the top of the 7th to come from behind and take an 11-8 lead over the Diamondbacks, but then the Diamondbacks scored 1 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, and 1 in the 9th to tie the game at 11, and then scored 1 in the 10th to win it 12-11 and steal that game last night.
Damn it.
In Cubs.
I'm scoreboard watching right now.
Yeah, the Cubs actually have a better record than the Diamondbacks right now. And you just don't know which team you're competing against. So
beat the crap out of each other,
you know,
I guess.
Early in the season, it doesn't really matter. You'd like to stay ahead of the Diamondbacks, and the Padres are a game ahead of the Diamondbacks for second place right now in the National League West, and they remained one game behind the Los Angeles Dodgers, who finally got another win. They beat the Washington Nationals yesterday, 6-2 was the final, I believe.
Yeah.
And they had their new prospect that they brought up, Andy Páez, who actually got a hit on the very first pitch he saw, which surprised the Dodgers broadcast team going, yeah, I mean, you're going up there. First time ever you've been up in the big leagues.
I'm not taking a pitch.
You're not taking
one? No. There is no chance.
Get comfortable?
Bro, I'm hoping for a six hopper to the shortstop. I'm hoping for a rollover. I'm hoping for a lazy fly ball to center field, but I am not going to stand up there and
get
watch
in the
slider 0-2 and ass out swing. No, I'm going up there hacking. Would you go up there and wait? Get your pitch? Oh my God.
Might want to settle in for one pitch at least.
Yeah, he throws you a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. You stare at it, and then what's he going to do? Snap, snap, you're done. You're walking back to the bench. I'm getting up there, and I'm hacking. We got the report card for one Angel Hernandez last night. Not that bad. Maybe the best game he's ever called. 90% overall accuracy. 91
isn't great.
91%
for him, it's okay.
For him, it's fantastic. It's, okay. It's like when I would get an A on something every now and then. 91%.
I mean, the good umpires are, you know, on a good game. Yeah. They're 97, 98. 90's not terrific.
Now, his most impactful missed calls all came early in the game, which is kind of what you want. Bottom of the third, Cease to Ortiz. Top of the first, Miley to Merrill. Bottom of the third, Cease to Ortiz. All went against the Padres. Called ball accuracy, 92%. Called strike accuracy, Ben, 85%. Average is 88.
Now, I pointed out that there is, for every Angel Hernandez missed call, and there will be plenty of them, there's a 50-50 chance it does help your team.
And there's some did early.
They did, absolutely. The balk call, I still don't exactly know what was going on when Luis Camposano looked like he got picked off.
Yeah.
And he called a balk from a position where if he truly was the leg kick was like broke the plane, that's the first base umpire's call, not the home plate umpire's call. So that was a weird one from Angel Hernandez.
The check swing, too. Remember that? Like, Xander, I think, check swing, and did not ask for help.
Angel will be at third base today based on the normal rotations of umpires, which seems like the spot where you can least affect a game.
He's knock on wood.
You can.
Knock on wood right now.
You can, but you don't have the constant, you know, first base calls that the first base umpire does.
Yep. The check and swing, too.
Yeah, you do have the check swing call at third for on left-handers.
Yep. No.
Oh, boy.
Would you say second base is then a less impactful umpire or the third base
umpire?
Well,
with replay now, you know, if it's close play, bang-bang play. But, man, thing about Angel is not that he misses calls. He also rips the mask off and starts walking towards you. He's an instigator.
He didn't throw out Jurickson when he got mad, and I thought perhaps that would be a problem. Jurickson definitely kind of did his arms like up in the air, like when the ball was outside. It was close, but it was outside.
And I told Hannah, she goes, "That ball was out." And I go, "Babe, it was pretty close. That's nowhere near his most egregious miss." And I said, "Does that not tell you, though, how good these guys are?"
But do you know, You know who the best umpires would be? If you could...
Robots.
No, if you... Well, robots, yeah, that's true. Good point, Polly. If you gave players all truth serum, though...
Them!
And
they
if,
would
if
be.
If batters could not tell a lie, they are almost always right. Like, when they like, let one go,
it's
and
scary,
it's outside,
dude.
They look like, dude, that was a ball, and it's usually a ball.
It's...
Think about guys like... that. We've seen Manny Machado, Juan Soto. Yeah. Like, bro. If they aren't swinging...
It's not a strike.
I don't think
it's
probably
not a strike. They do... They will, like, sometimes Manny will take one where he's like, he looks back, I'm like, bro, I was right down the middle. They do that, and I think it's more for effect.
I do, too.
But if push came to shove, like you said, if you had truth serum in them, if they had to call their own games, I think it would be better. At least balls and strikes, I think it would be pretty good, man.
They know when they're out, and they know when they should be walking.
Manfred, any ideas?
Yeah, it's true. Oh, you mean I don't have to pay umpires anymore? Yeah.
Also in the NL West yesterday, the Giants lost again to the Marlins 6-3. Old friend Ryan Weathers shoving against the Giants. 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, lowering his ERA to 2.70. What did they do to Ryan Weathers in Miami? My goodness.
Skip Schumacher effect.
Apparently. Congratulations on that performance. All right, we'll come back. We have got 1 hour left going to an early Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show. Brett Boone is going to join us in our final hour, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, and much more. Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.